Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello, Chicago!
From WBEZ Chicago and PRX, this is Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot.
And I'm Jim DeRogatis. With the Kentucky Derby coming up, we thought it would be the perfect time to explore why horses are such a common theme throughout different genres of music. We share some of our favorite tracks about horses and hear some from our listeners.
Plus, we review the sophomore album from the indie rocker Lucy Dacus. And Taurus tells us about the song that got her hooked on Sonics. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions. You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we'll review the new album from indie artist Lucy Dacus, and we'll hear from Taurus, a guitarist, singer, and songwriter, about what song got her hooked on Sonics. But first, songs about horses.
You see, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. Desert, you can't remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
Kentucky Derby season is upon us, Jim. The Triple Crown. Bunch of beautiful animals running around a track for large amounts of money. And it's an event. People have parties around these things. Horses are a part of American culture since day one, and now we celebrate them and we make money off them in this this Triple Crown event that's coming up over the next month. And it inspired us to think about the fact that horses are such a big part of American mythology and about what they represent in our culture. They have inspired many songs as well. And it's almost taken for granted. Well, horses, yeah, how many songs really? And then you think about it and you go, dozens, hundreds of songs have referenced horses, have mentioned horses, because they are such iconic symbols in what we think of ourselves as a country.
No, absolutely, Greg. I mean, you know, whenever our production staff says, oh, you know, it's time for a list show. What do you guys got? You know, what are you excited about? And, you know, we always start out thinking, well, that's a dumb idea. And then we come up with 50 examples each. I got to confess, I'm not a horse racing fan. I do love the animals. They're beautiful. All I know about racing is Hunter S. Thompson. The Kentucky Derby is decadent and depraved, which it is. So this is a fun show, sort of tongue-in-cheek. We're going to share, though, some of our favorite tracks about horses. Why don't you get us started, Greg? Come out of the gate and take us off to the races.
Jim, thank you. I think the horse and horses are such unique symbols in our culture and in music specifically because of what they represent. They evoke images of the American West, the wide open plains, freedom, independence.
Yeah.
You know, there's a sense of this beautiful animal running on the plains. We think of these wild horses on the plains. And that's what Roger McGuinn was writing about in the bird song Chestnut Mare that came out in 1970. He co-wrote the song with Jacques Levy. They were originally working on a country rock musical named Gene Tripp that was based on an Ibsen play. with the location transposed from Norway to the American West. Mm. The narrator in the song that McGuinn wrote, which, by the way, the play was never staged, but it ended up coming out on one of the Byrds albums in 1970. The narrator tries to catch and brand this wild horse, to make it like a wife, he says. And right away, you're thinking, this guy's kind of a jerk.
You know?
He's gonna capture this beautiful animal and make it like his wife. The whole idea of branding it, you know. So here we have a very thin metaphor for a colonist coming along and raping and pillaging the land and thinking he can control and dominate, a big parcel of our wild other self. To me, the horse, to McGuinn, represented nature, the ecology movement, the whole idea of freedom. He represented the stalker, the predator, the colonizer in this song. And it's a beautiful song. And some people may not think about it in those terms, but I think McGuinn was thinking about these things very deeply at the time he wrote this song. So it's interesting. The chestnut mare escapes the grasp of the would-be captor time and again in this song. Mm-hmm. And the chestnut mare eventually, you know, wins its freedom, not without some struggle. But it's an incredibly epic song that has several parts in it. There's a long digression in the middle. There's some spoken word passages here. McGuinn's guitar playing on that 12-string Rickenbacker in combination with Clarence White's guitar, acoustic guitar playing, is extraordinary. A great musical performance, but also a great tale about the iconic role that horses play in our mythology, American mythology. The Byrds with Chestnut Mare on Sound Opinions.
Always alone. You'll have to take my word. I'm going to catch that horse if I can. And when I do, I'll give her my brand. Well, I was up on Stony Ridge after this chestnut mare. Been chasing her for weeks. Well, I'd catch a glimpse of her every once in a while, taking her meal, bathing. Fine lady. This one day I happened to be real close to her and I saw her standing over there. So I snuck up on her nice and easy. Got my rope out and I flung it in the air. I'm gonna catch that horse if I can. I'm pulling on her, and she's pulling back like this mule going up a ladder. And I take a choice, and I jump right up on her. Damned if I don't land right on top of her. And she takes off, running up onto the ridge, higher than I've ever been before.
Chestnut Mare from the Byrds on Sound Opinions. Jim, what's your first pick?
Greg, I'm going to a favorite of Sound Opinions, the Handsome Family, that wonderful duo formed originally in Chicago, based in New Mexico for a long time now, Brett and Rennie Sparks, husband and wife team. You and I have had them on the show as guests. We interviewed them after they reached the biggest audience of their career with the song Far From Any Road, winding up as the theme for the first season of True Detective on HBO. They're always a great interview. We were big fans of their 2016 album Unseen, the 10th of their career. We've loved all their records. I'm going back to the very first album they ever gave us, 1994, Odessa. I think I even mentioned this when we were talking to Brett and Rennie. I have loved from the second I heard it their song Pony, which Brett, I think, was a little embarrassed about when I told him that, because it was is intentionally kind of a dumb song, but a good dumb song. You know, ponies are in the horse family. Maybe I'm stretching the rules a little bit. But Brett singing in almost a, like a childlike way, a song that you could play for your children and make them exceedingly happy. I want a pony, a big fat pony, you know. And he, what does he want to do with the pony? He wants to feed it bologna. Okay, this is not nearly as profound as Chestnut Mare, but I think there's also something, you know, I mean, kids are obsessed with two things, you know, ponies, horses, and dinosaurs, right? I think partly because they're so much bigger and more powerful than you are when you're a child. But there's also something magical about these creatures. I think the Handsome Family captures that well. Pony on Sound Opinions.
That is Pony from the Handsome Family. Good pick, Jim. Now it's time to hear from some of our listeners about their favorite songs about horses.
Big B calling in from Mokena, thinking about a song about horses. First one comes to mind, Gimme Some Water by Eddie Money.
Gimme some water, cause I'm shadow man on the Mexican border. Cuckoo water, gimme some water.
Delta Jail of Crime. Being on the run from the man, hooking up with a brother and riding through the desert.
Can't you see that long white rope hanging from the hamer tree? Take a restless horse, tie my hands across. Tell my mother that I'm finally free. Let me die like a man no one understands. Let me pray that a poor man pray. Smack that horse in the ass with my last dying gasp. My brother could hear me say, give me some water.
Great. Enjoy the show.
648 episodes of Sound Opinions, Greg, and the first ever Eddie Money reference.
Everybody wants to be a cowboy, Jim.
Everybody does. Let's hear from another listener.
Hi, this is Terry from Austin, Texas. The song about horses I really like is called Horses by a French band called CQMD.
Horses.
I I love it when I get to hear American music filtered through another culture. This is a Funhouse Mirror version of Dixieland. It has an infectious sousaphone bass line, funky banjo, and a propulsive groove that kind of reminds me of Can. I wish I knew more about the band. I discovered this song about 10 years ago on a compilation of arty French music put together by David Byrne. Thanks a bunch.
I love that one. We have a Texan, you know, the land of horses, giving us a twisted French arty band. I love that.
Yeah. I'm going to stay in that mode, Jim, with my next pick. The band Laid Back, basically a Danish duo, Tim Stahl and John Goldberg. And if you were in a cutting-edge dance club circa 1984, you could not escape this song. It was everywhere. Everybody heard White Horse.
Mm.
And of course, there was a lot of younger people in the clubs at the time who maybe didn't realize what this song was actually talking about. A little background on White Horse. It was originally issued in the United States as a B-side. This group had a huge single called Sunshine Reggae. It was a hit all over the world. It's a terrible song, but it was a big hit. But the B-side, to their credit, the DJs at the clubs picked up on the B-side, which was White Horse, and that became an American hit. Some people viewed it as an anti-drug song because White Horse refers to heroin. Some people were thinking, hey, if you want to ride the White Horse, they're thinking about, you know, riding an actual horse. Well, in the drug subculture, horse was heroin.
Right.
So there's a sort of a subtext here in that regard. If you want to ride, don't ride the white horse. Later on in the song, though, they say, if you want to ride, ride the white pony. So white pony referring to cocaine.
Right.
So this anti-drug song, some people say, oh, they're saying don't use drugs. Well, at the end of the song, they're saying just use cocaine instead of heroin. So not really an anti-drug song.
Okay.
And it's done in these kind of comical, ominous, deep voices. It's almost like a Leibach impersonation or something going on. It's almost comical, but also kind of dark and creepy with that very minimalist synthesizer line over the top, that 808 drum machine beats underneath, very much speaking to that underground club culture of the time. White Horse from Laid Back on Sound Opinions.
If you want to ride, don't ride the white horse. If you want to ride, don't ride the white horse. White horse, don't ride the white horse.
That is White Horse from Laid Back, a big club hit in the 80s. What's your next pick, Jim?
Greg, if I was cheating by doing a song about a pony as my first pick, I am now going to cheat by playing Mustang Sally,
yeah,
which is not about a Mustang as in horse. It's about the car, of course, but I'll make the case for it being a great horse song nonetheless. The tune, an R&B classic, one of the all-time greats, was first recorded after being written by Mack Rice in 1965. I think the version everybody's most familiar with is the 66 hit by Wilson Pickett. What an incredible song. What an incredible performance. The perhaps apocryphal history here is that the song started as a joke. Della Reese, the singer, wanted a new Ford Mustang. She wanted a hot rod, you know? And Rice first called the song Mustang Mama. But Aretha Franklin suggested, no, I think Mustang Sally would be a better song. And she was thinking of a long-forgotten, at least I don't know this song, a children's game tune called Little Sally Walker, which includes the lyrics, "Rise, Sally, rise, wipe your weeping eyes." And, of course, the whole song builds in Mack Rice's version and Wilson Pickett's version to "All you want to do is ride around Sally, ride, Sally, ride." You know, that is one of the all-time great choruses in all of rock and R&B history. Ride, Sally, ride. We are all Sally. We all want to ride at some point as fast as we can. And I think the rhythm and the song and the vocal all contribute to that magical feeling. It could be on horseback, could be on a car, could be on a skateboard if you want. I don't care. It's about riding, baby. Mustang Sally by Wilson Pickett on Sound Opinions.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow your
Yes, the Wicked Pickett, Wilson Pickett on Mustang Sally. We're going to be back with more songs about horses in honor of the Kentucky Derby. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island, so we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My partner is Greg Kot. And today we are talking about songs about horses to honor the Triple Crown and horse racing season being upon us. I've never bet, Greg. I've never gone to the horse races, but some people really love them. And horses are a great thing to write great songs about. Across all genres, throughout pop music history, you're up with another pick.
Thank you, Jim. I want to play a song from the Cowboy Junkies, a band sort of apropos for today's show about horses, and a track from their fourth album, Black Eyed Man, in 1992. It's called A Horse in the Country. This is a family band, Margot Timmons on lead vocals. Her brother, guitarist Michael Timmons, was the main songwriter in the band, and he wrote the songs in that band for his sister's voice. This song is sung from the perspective of a woman who married young, and now she's approaching midlife in this marriage, and she finds herself in this really kind of burned out, unsatisfying relationship. And her one solace is this wild horse that she, as she says in the song, she rides every second Sunday. Mm. You know, she'll come to this meadow, this field, and she'll call, and the horse will come, and she'll. She'll pet the horse and ride him around a little bit. And she says, one day I'm going to saddle him up and the two of us will ride away. You know, the horse, you know, we talked about this idea of the horse representing independence and sort of an American ideal. You know, the nobility of this animal, the loyalty, the beauty of it, you know, the fact that, you know, when she calls it every 2 weeks, it's still there for her. Unlike her husband, she can count on this horse. So it represents an escape from the everyday, the not so happy life that she finds herself in, and it kind of represents the idea that there is a way out of this, and this horse will be the way I will get out of this life someday, even if I can only dream about that possibility. It's a beautiful song from the Cowboy Junkies, A Horse in the Country, on Sound Opinions. Horse in the Country from the Cowboy Junkies. Jim, have you got another horse song for us?
Greg, I want to play something by the Deftones. When we were talking about songs about horses, I immediately thought of the third studio album by that band, White Pony, as a phrase you were mentioning earlier in reference to cocaine. There is no song about ponies or horses on White Pony. Underrated record, man. It, you know, a lot of nu metal really was awful. But I think what the Deftones were doing was far artier than most of those bands, bringing in an element of My Bloody Valentine in the guitar work, right? This is from a more recent record, 2013's Koi no Yokan. It has the song Swerve City on it. It was a single and a music video for the band. I think they made two videos. And it's really minimalist in its lyrics. She breaks her horses with strange distant voices that travel through the air. You know, that's it, really, about horses. But that's all you need. Mm. Again, this idea, as old as literature, as old as people riding horses, of a love compared to a horse, trying to tame it, trying to ride it, trying to socialize it in some way, trying to, you know, gain power over something that has much more power than you. Boy, talk about a metaphor that is consistent throughout all of music. This is the Deftones with Swerve City on Sound Opinions. Swerve City by the Deftones, another cool song about horses. Now it's time, Greg, to hear from one more listener.
Hi, Jim and Greg. It's Jeremy from New York City. Been a while. And I'm calling about horses, my favorite song about horses. The first one that came to mind is Judy and the Dream of Horses from Belle and Sebastian's 1996 If You're Feeling Sinister album, which was their second album, but the first one I heard.
Fell asleep till the first morning. She dreamt about the girl who stole a horse. Judy never felt so good except when she was sleeping.
Wow, there's not a bad song on the album. And they nailed it with Judy and the Dream of Horses, adding to the pantheon of great songs about horses.
Judy, you're just trying to find and keep the dream of horses. And the song she wrote was Judy and the Dream of Horses. Dream of Horses. Dream of Horses. Dream.
Talk to you guys later.
Good pick, Belle and Sebastian. Greg, thanks to all of our listeners who called to share their opinions. You have one final track for us?
I do, Jim. I wanted to get a little humorous here at the end because, you know, I've been addressing some fairly serious songs about the horse mythology. And I was a big fan of Bone Thugs and Harmony in the 90s. I thought they wrote really catchy songs. You know, they were kind of in this gangster narrative, but they had a sense of humor, and they had a yeah. sense of hooks and melody about them as well. Cleveland hip hop group. They had a spinoff group called Mo Thugs Family, and in which basically, you know, the members of Bone Thugs and Harmony were joined by additional members, quote unquote, family members. And so the pieces took on almost a theatrical feel, like they were almost doing like these mini plays. And a great example of that was Ghetto Cowboy, which, you know, the video and everything puts, you know, these guys, these street guys from the 1990s back into the Old West a century earlier. You know, if you thought Will Smith in the Wild Wild West remake was a little absurd, these guys had it beat. They were ahead of the curve in 1998 with this song. So Crazy Bone, the lead singer of Bone Thugs and Harmony, he's a cowboy, and he's going west to rob banks. He says, I'm going to rob the banks that haven't been robbed yet. Mm-hmm. And he enlists a bunch of fellow criminals to help him out. There's this horse thief, Thug Queen, that he meets, and Lazy Bone and Powder Pea as well in this group of outlaws that are going west.
It's very Blazing Saddles as
well. Oh, it is. It's totally Blazing Saddles. And then there's all sorts of sound effects. You got the clippity-clopping hooves and the whinnying of the horses, and you've got the crack of the whip, and you've got this campfire harmonica by a really good harmonica player, Jimmy Zavala. He'd been playing with numerous artists over the years. So you've got this whole sort of little mini movie playing out in this 4-minute song. The sound effects of the horses throughout being a running theme. It's Ghetto Cowboy from Mo Thugs Family on Sound Opinions.
You better count
Ghetto Cowboy from Mo Thugs Family. What is your final pick about horses, Jim?
Well, Greg, the very first song when our production staff said, you should do a show, songs about horses. You know, we both started chanting, horses, 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 and Patti Smith, right? But the second song you think of this is almost too easy a pick, but how could we ignore it? Wild Horses by the Rolling Stones, 1971's Sticky Fingers album. This song is a classic in so many ways. Jim Dickinson's piano part, he produced Sticky Fingers. Ian Stewart, the longtime pal and piano player for the Stones, apparently didn't like to play minor chords, so he said, no, I don't want to play on this one. So Dickinson, an American, recording at Muscle Shoals in Alabama, sits in, and it's got that Muscle Shoals sound. It's also, you know, got Mick Taylor on acoustic guitar and Richards on both acoustic guitar and electric guitar. The song's written, of course, by Keith Richards and Mick Jagger, and it's considered one of their greatest collaborations. As usual, they have different ideas about what it was about. Keith has said, if there's a classic way of me and Mick working, you know, I had the riff and the chorus, Mick got the verses, and it was about not wanting to be on the road, being a million miles from where you want to be. Jagger, said, we were just trying to do like a Graham Parsons song. You know, he was hanging out with them at this time, and he refused to say what it's about. The lyrics are sort of cryptic. You know, what are you trying to, you know, wild horses couldn't drag you away from what? Mm. What is it that they can't drag you away from? As usual, there's some not entirely pleasant misogyny. Jagger, you know, graceless lady, you know who I am, mm-hmm. right? I think it's a little bit of a boast. He's putting her down and saying, you know who I am. But then there's also one of those classically profound, if elliptical, Jagger lines. Let's do some living after we die. Mm-hmm. You know, Mick is an elliptical lyricist, not a great lyricist, but the combination of his voice and especially, you know, the 12 string and the piano. To me, that's what it's all about. This is one of the Stones' best songs, Wild Horses, on Sound Opinions.
Childhood living. Of them for you, graceless lady. You know who I am. You know I can't let you slide through my hands.
Wild Horses by the Rolling Stones from 1971's Sticky Fingers wraps up our feature about songs about horses. Now we want to hear from you. Do you have a favorite track about horses that we didn't get to? Call us at 888-859-1800 and leave a message. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. When we come back, we'll review the new album from indie singer-songwriter Lucy Dacus, and we'll hear what got artist and songwriter Torres hooked on Sonics. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm
/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The first time I tasted somebody else's spit, I had a coughing fit. I mistakenly called them by your name. I was let down, it wasn't the same. I'm doing fine, trying to derail my one-track mind, regaining my self-worth in record time. But I can't help but think of your other in the bed that was mine.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. That is Greg Kot over there. And we are listening to a little bit of Lucy Dacus, the first track on her second album, Night Shift. The record is called Historian. Greg, Lucy Dacus broke out of the Richmond music scene in a big way, 2015-2016. She had independently released her debut album as a singer and songwriter, working with a band of musicians, friend of hers, and it caught the ear of Matador Records. She was signed. There was a little buzz on it to begin with, and then once she was signed to Matador, it really took off. No Burden was that debut. Won her a lot of fans. People saying, what a sophisticated songwriter. What a wonderful, mysterious, smoky voice. Now we have album number two from Lucy Dacus. Where is she going on this record? Historian is the name of the new album. We are going to play a track. We'll come back with our reviews. This is a song called Pillar of Truth by Lucy Dacus on Sound Opinions.
That is Pillar of Truth from Lucy Dacus. The new album is called Historian, the second album. No Burden got a lot of acclaim, Jim. I think Historian is a better album. I particularly like that song we just played. We only played a piece of it. It's a 7-minute song that just builds and builds to that moment. When Dacus finally raises her voice for basically the first and only time on the album, and then the song goes black. It's a song about grief. It's a song about mourning. The death of a beloved family member and her experience of going through that. And time and mortality are big subjects on this record. Mm-hmm. The notion that, you know, humans are out here hunting for this
purpose, their purpose in life, while combating, doubt almost all their lives. And the key that this young narrator finds is that once you eliminate the idea that this is normal, that this is what life is, you can better cope with it. It's a powerful lesson subtly told. You know, I think the way the music operates for me is that it almost envelops you before you know it. You never feel like you're being banged over the head, then suddenly you're drowning, like this music is all over you.
I'm a ghost walking in a boring dream. You are there talking and I'm not listening. I am busy doing nothing.
And the experience I can compare it to is like when you're reading a really good book and you find yourself really involved in the book, even though there's total silence around you. You're not hearing anything. You're just kind of focusing on these words, on these pages. And the words are changing you. They're changing your body temperature. Your cheeks may get a little flushed, whatever. You're having this emotional, visceral response.
You're waxing pretty erudite yourself.
It's a very powerful record about humanity. And I love it. It's a buy it record for me.
Well, Greg, I wish I could share the level of your enthusiasm. I think at age 22, Lucy Dacus is a writer who's finding her voice. There are great lines when she's talking to a bad lover on night shift and says, "You don't deserve what you don't respect." Then there's a line like, "The first time I tasted somebody else's spit, I had a coughing fit."
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. She's got a lot of ambition. I love when the songs build. As you said, the song we played, Pillar of Truth, 7.5-minute track or 7 minutes, 15 seconds, it builds and it builds. And when the fuzz comes in and the guitars come in and she raises her voice, it's very dramatic. I want the whole album to be that way. When she's in quiet mode, which is the vast majority of this record, some people seem absolutely enchanted by her voice. I don't think she's a bad singer, but it isn't gripping me the way that fans are. They're just, waxing rhapsodic about her as a vocalist.
I am at peace with my dead. I can go back to bed. I am at peace with my dead. I can go back to bed.
I do not think this is a bad album. I think this is a record that shows some interesting directions to be pursued in the future. So on our buy it, try it, trash it scale, it's at best a try it for me. That is a little bit of Torres, the musical project of Mackenzie Scott. Her latest album, Three Futures, has a little bit of electropop, industrial, even krautrock on there. We've been interested in what Torres has been doing from the beginning of her career. She spoke with us for our series, Hooked on Sonics, where musicians talk with us about the song that got them interested in writing their own tunes.
Hi, this is Mackenzie Scott. I'm here as Torres. And the song that got me hooked on Sonics was The Phantom of the Opera. The first time I heard that song, it was one of those drop everything kind of moments. You know, like you go into a trance when you hear that kind of a song for the first time. That song is completely mesmeric. Like, it makes my eyes unfocus. it's one of the best pop songs ever written, but it's also an opera, you know? It's popera. I think that it was one of the first times I became aware that there could be a meeting of the worlds like that in a way that both appeals to, you know, the part of me that wants to dance and, you know, like, has a really strong melodic core. I was actually not that young. I think I was 14 the first time I heard that song. But I didn't want to sing before that. I didn't realize that I wanted to sing before I heard that music. And something just flipped. I heard it and I saw the Broadway play and the movie in the same year of life. So it was, you know, I got every angle of it in one fell swoop, I think, and that was it. I was like, oh my God, I have to sing, I have to perform. I didn't necessarily know at that point that I wanted to write what I was going to sing and perform, but I knew that I wanted to incorporate performance into my world in some way. I was a theater kid, but only after that. Truly, I did sports before that. I played basketball. I think hearing that song, it was one of the first times that I realized that you could pair something really melodic and you know, like stereotypically gorgeous with something really harsh. I love that combination. I think that I'm always trying to achieve that dynamic in my own music.
That was Torres talking about Phantom of the Opera, the song that got her hooked on Sonics. I can't go there with her, Greg. But what do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, in honor of Slayer starting their final tour, we pay tribute to these giants of metal by revisiting our interview with the band.
Slayer. Greg, as always, Sound Opinions is produced by Brendan Banasak, Alex Claiborne, and Ayanna Contreras.
On Sound Opinions, everyone's a critic. So give us a call on our hotline, 888-859-1800.
New messages.
Hi, this is Victoria Shelton from East Point, Georgia. I just finished listening to the interview with Jason Isbell, and I want to thank you guys for introducing me to some really wonderful music that I would not have found otherwise. So thank you guys for expanding my horizon.
There's no such thing as someone else's war. Your creature comforts aren't the only things worth fighting for. You're still breathing, it's not too late. We're all carrying one great burden, sharing.
Hi, my name is Theresa, and I'm calling from Atlanta. And I just want to thank you for introducing me to Jason Isbell. I am absolutely thrilled to have heard his beautiful and powerful words in White Man's World. I am an African-American woman, and I have not been a fan of country music or country music artists, but I believe now I am a fan of Jason Isbell. So, thank you. Bye.
I'm a white man living in a white man's nation. I guess the man upstairs must have took a vacation. I still have faith, but I don't know why. Maybe it's the fire in our little girl's eyes. Maybe it's the fire in our little girl's eyes.
It's
Mario Garcia of Morton Grove, Illinois. I was listening to your show just now on my drive home, and I heard Jason Isbell's song, If We Were Vampires, and it really hit me hard, and I just lost a friend a couple days ago.
It's knowing that this can't go on forever. Likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together, but one day I'll be gone. One day you'll be gone.
I just can't help but think about her and her husband, how they had to say goodbye, and now I'm thinking about me and my wife. So it hit hard, and I cried a little, and just want to say thanks for bringing that to our attention, because I think that was an important song for me to hear now.
I wouldn't feel the need to hold your hand. Maybe time running out is a gift. I'll work hard till the end of my shift to give you every second I can find. And hope it isn't me.
Lars Helwig, Pennsylvania. Your show about Beefheart or comments were obviously skeptical. However, Captain Beefheart was far beyond his time. His music is genius and his acquired taste.
My smile is stuck. I cannot go back to your frown land.
You have to be open-minded to accept his train of thought. And of course, we have far too many people in the world or in this country who want to close their minds rather than expand them. Thanks for a good show.
I cannot go back to your land of gloom, where black jagged shadows remind me of the coming of your doom. I want my own land.
No more messages.
Take my hand and come with me.
To give us your opinions on Sound Opinions, call our hotline, 888-859-1800. We'll be back next week with more Sound Opinions, produced by WBEZ Chicago and distributed by PRX.